This morning's conversation, we're very fortunate to have Luch Meen come and talk with us. I've known Luch now for 3 years, I think, as the executive director for Pepe, an organization that I hold in very high regard. And Luch has been active in a couple of the workshops and training sessions that we've done. He's always really good about asking me interesting and challenging questions, which I appreciate and respect. And Luch, you're going to talk to us about R&D ideas and about ideas for NGOs. So I'm really interested to hear what you have to say. I understand you're not going to use any slides. You're just going to chat with us. So let me stop talking and turn the program over to you, Luch. I'm very much looking forward to this conversation, and we'll continue on when you're ready for us.
Yes, thank you, Bill, and today I'm very happy to share some knowledge. My name is Mien Luch. I am already 45 years old. For 5 years old, you know. So I have a lot of experience in nonprofits, international organizations, running my own business enterprise, fail a lot, and also running social enterprise with you know, nonprofits organization. So normally I would like when I join the workshop with C Foundation and meet some of us here, and some are new to me, but hello to everyone. And I will not take long for this talk, but I would like to start with giving the title and ask three questions, and I hope everyone can let me know the answer. So today I'm focusing on nonprofit or NGO research and development. Normally, we call it R&D in business term or in organizational term. R&D mean R is research and D is development. So a little bit of the background about this. R&D is very important for big organizations. I would say that some of us experience some like big funder would come to meet us, and then until 1 or 2 years later, they come up with some program and things like that. In terms of businesses, they spend like 5 or 10% of their income to or some up to 20% to for R&D. They have a separate R&D development. And for us, we are not going to talk about detail about, you know, something we find on Google, on AI about R&D, you know. We are talking about our own experience and what can be applicable, especially in nonprofits size, our size, and in Siem Reap and Cambodia. So I would like to start with one question. The question is, for your experience, especially with your current organization, the projects or activity that you are running or you are managing, is that your original ideas or donors' ideas or ideas that are already in place in your organizations? Or maybe you start the idea, but you just follow others, you know. So there are four options about it. But the key is that, let me rephrase the questions. is the projects or activity that you are doing, you're implementing, I mean personally, okay? We are not talking about the whole organization. Personally, is that your original ideas or idea from somewhere else? Okay. I know some are not turning on the video, but if we can raise the hand, I will call the number. Okay, so the question already asked, the program or activity that you are doing right now, is this your original ideas or something you just implement following others? So if the answer is number one, your original idea, please raise your hand. Your original ideas. Okay, we have one. Because Mr. Lim actually is the founder. So okay, and the second answer is it probably means that most of us are doing a lot of running the program based on the idea or the organization's activity that already existed before. Am I right? I don't want to pinpoint, but just like in general, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
If you agree,
Yeah.
yeah, you raise your
Yeah.
hand. Okay, no problem. Because I am here at Pepee for 2 years. I'm running Pepee based on previous ideas. Okay. There's a couple initiative that is happening. I would say is that overall it's based on previous ED, previous founders and organizational projects idea from like 5 or 10 years ago somehow. Okay. So to have your own idea, sometimes people call to be creative, to have your ideas in as original idea for you to implement. It's very important and also very powerful, and it's very empowering. Like that means you will own this, and you will have, you are kind of the original ownership of this. So I want to highlight how can we get there, So I would like, so for now we pass this first the one question, key question. Do you have any question? Please, if you have, raise your hand. If you don't, then I will continue. So it's easy to understand, no question. Thank you. In order to have something on your own, whether you are at home, you are at a nonprofit, or you are in a profit-based business, it's about research. So we are the idea workers, I would say. We work on ideas nowadays, We touch laptop, we touch computer, we touch paper, we sign paper, we debate, we brainstorm, every days at office during meeting and things like that. Is to find ideas. We are not like handyman carries table, carries mic, like chairs around at a meeting or anywhere. We focus on ideas, and our ideas is the product. Okay. In business, they invest like thousands or millions of dollars to create product prototype. For us, it's so easy. We just think, and then we present that to the boss, to the manager, and then hopefully to the donor, So how to do the research? That's the reason why I come up with this topic, because I've been as I told you, I've been I'm 45 years old. I've been around 20 years, 25 years in terms of work environment, and my experience in Siem Reap's, I'm here for 9 years, and I've been working for nearly 5 years now. So I have a lot of break time as well in between. And I think that from my experience with two organizations, I see that research and development is not kind of use or prioritize or make use of what available in the landscape of nonprofit right now. I would say that this is from my experience only. I don't mean that your organization are not working on that, you know. But at the same time, I would like to also highlight this because I want all of us and everyone here to have our own original ideas when we do the projects, you know. Maybe 1 or 2 years we can have our own ideas, our own projects, our own activities that we can own it. In order to do the research, we currently have a lot of resource, and I would start with capacity buildings. We have a lot of opportunity for capacity building. I would say Southeast Asia Foundations that Bill is leading, support is coordinating. We have all of that. We have organizational fund, internal fund to support. I think some organization have, some organization does not have the luxuries. But there are also training around in Siem Reap as well. And let's say even PEPPIS sometimes don't even have enough staff to send over to Phnom Penh. But do we really take that opportunity seriously? I from my point of view as a PEPPI director, I think that some majority of my staff are not taking that opportunity seriously to develop themselves. I would say briefly that summarize it that when my team go to a training, they come back with a PowerPoint presentation, sometimes hard copy, sometimes soft copy. And then sometimes they even have a certificate and they say, it's done. I am now the program management certified staff. it doesn't work like that. Like you, that's why when we work, we need a passion. What are we really in? Money is your passions. Finance is your passions. Program management is your passion. Or like specific into like educations or advocacies or like working with the government, changing the policy, you know, is that or like working with you know, local government to produce a tangible outcome in the community level based on the government policy and things like that. So when you find that you don't just go to like capacity building training for the sake of going to the training, you know, if it doesn't develop your passion, ask other people to join instead. And so, but after we get the training, okay, already, it probably take us 2 to 3 years to really become like a qualified person to really kind of manage that specific topics. Let's say lobbying or project management, or even management or social medias, you know, activities, you know, or, you know, partnership with international funder or local partnership with local business or, you know, local partner or working directly with the government and things like that. And why does it take so long? You know, the workshop, capacity workshop, for example, that Bill used to do, it just like first step, you know. Whether the topic is in depth or just like an introduction in introductory level, everything is just like the opening, you know, for such a short like half day workshop or 1 day workshop. So you cannot say that you know everything from there. I attend Southeast Asia Foundation workshop with Philips, right? Philip's the counterpart of Bill, Philip, right? On SMART goal specifically, okay? So everyone know about SMART goal. Now, let's say that after one day workshop and always exercise, you know, group work and things like that. But after we know about the introductory workshop, then we need to dig out, to dig deep into this. That's the approach that I do. And if we don't do that, we don't overcome that introductory level and we don't experience the real things behind that. I would say similar to meditations, vulnerable, you know, like you read about meditation, you know, oh, okay, it's go from one step to this, to this, to this. But until you really do the meditation that you really know about that, and until you do like that, then you become somebody as, you know, a good, not yet an expert, but somebody who can really work on that specific topic. And SMART goal is the same. SMART goal is not about knowing what is SMART goal. You click on the internet, it's there. On your smartphone, it's there already. What is SMART goal? But when it comes to implementing or managing the program, managing an organizations, the question comes to you. Why SMART goal never work? You know, you see, that's the practice. That's the implementation. Nobody can achieve like 50% of SMART goal. No. You know? So that's the real thing. And that's why we need to do a lot of research. It takes 2 to 3 years to really become somebody in term of in specific topics. You know, you can choose 4 or 5 topics to learn as you're working on this organization, like MFP, I'm in education, you know, somebody else in, you know, in community, in others field, you know, English methodology, how to teach students, how to make students more interesting to coming to the class and things like that. It takes years. And for me, normally when, let's say I used to learn about advocacy, I try advocacy. I never go to a workshop. 15 years ago or 20 years ago, I just, you know, look up on the internet and start to work on it. And after, like, the first thing I like, when I like a topic, I start to search it. Number one is movie. What movie talk about it? When I start, I was interested in lobbying. I was working with an organization mostly about advocacy. And then there's a lot of movie about advocacy, about lobbying. So the movie that I watched then, I remember, and my boss told me, the movie called Thank You for Smoking. It's a Hollywood movie, and it's about like a lobbying company and work with the US Congress. You know, and they support, like, you know, vice product like smoking, cigarettes, wines, and things like that. So it's a good movie, and I enjoyed it. So I watched, let's say, 5 or 10 movies about lobbying. You know, about like all the president's men and things like that. You know, all of these Hollywood great movie, they spend like $10 to $50 million to make movie for us. And we can get it for free, you know. So I accumulate that more information from movies, and also I immerse myself through all the internet website. You know, when I type lobbying or advocacy, it's there. But how to get kids interested in English? How to get more volunteers come to Cambodia? How to get more volunteers to do this? It's all there. So after you don't spend that as a full time, you know, you have 8 hours to work, but your free time, you're interested in that, you keep going on. And as I said, maybe you are interested in 4 or 5 topics in your work area, you know. For me, my interest round day, what I'm as the executive director, but it's a long-term interest about me. It's about branding, it's about marketing, it's about photography, it's about creativity, and also human resource, you know, and entrepreneurship. So I keep looking, and all my apps that I have on my phone, you know, Feedly or Flipboard, that's the app that you get the news that come to you, and your email, like say Google email subscription to different topic, they send that email to you every day, you know. And then you just like, when you have time, you go scroll it, and then there's probably one article or writing or paper come out that interests you. So I immerse with this topic for about 1 to 2 years. I know everything that's available on the internet, you see. And when you have all the information, not the idea, you have all the information on the internet with you already, you don't need to remember anything. Then every problem that you meet at your organizations, with the new funding or thinking about new activity for new funding, because they are donor from here and there, come to you, hey, can you do this? Can, and you want to bring fresh idea to that, then you have it. And the solutions that you have this time, you never follow others. It will be something new, always, you know. And that's called creativities. You have a lot of that, you immerse yourself in those fields, and then you bring all the dots together and come up with one or two new ideas, and that's your own. And that's the product. And at Peppy, we have about one funder or donor or partner from overseas email us every month, at least one. Like yesterday, I received an email, somebody got funding from Google. They want to like tech education, like in short, you know, digital education for young people, things like that. Okay. Then we got an idea, you know, what to do with that? What can be fresh? What can be new? You know, and that's after you implement your own ideas for 5 years, let's say, you know, you always have new ideas. Then you become an expert into that. Nowadays, somebody talking about nonprofit branding, marketing, or you know, enterprise. I can pick that up and branch it out right away, you know, or pick out the old stories, and you know, it's similar like you read the news every day. Like if you read politics about Cambodia every day for 5 years and you stop reading it, when something happened, you hear from somebody telling something happened, you can connect, oh, somebody must have done this and that, that's why this happened. And it's the same in research and development. And to that level, you create the idea product already. And that's R&D. Thank you. That's all I have. And if you have any questions or want to clarify anything that I missed, please let me know. Okay, we are 10:30 now. Thank you.
Well, that's a really interesting, thought-provoking set of ideas. And I'm going to just pause. I see a heart up there on Lita's square on my computer. Who has something they want to say about what they just heard, or a question, or something they agree with, or something they don't agree with? Let's see where the conversation goes.
Okay.
There's
yeah.
a hand up with
yeah. Okay, thanks very much.
You spoke up, so you have the floor.
Thank you. Thanks, Bong Loit, for the talk that it just gave us. Just now you mentioned about you receive an email from someone interested in doing like the technology related program. So when you see the email like that, you're gonna do it. And is it something that you have been doing already, or it's something new that you are going to follow their idea on that and use their fund for that new program? And if so, do you think that more researches will need to be done before we start launching that like technology related program, or we can actually launch it right away after receiving fund?
Thank you for the very good questions. I think that has two angle of the question that I like to answer. In terms of project implementations, and when there's an outreach from donor, normally it will be 50-50 based on donor objective and also based on what has happened already at our organization, you know. So it can be news. The key is that do we want to really do the same thing, or we want to do something new, you know? So that then and it depends on the timeline of the project, you know. If we can like come up with ideas right away, or we need to do research, you know, and then it will continue with the discussion. That's an angle one, you know, in terms of discussion. So the final result, we don't know. But I will say in terms of like donor outreach or funder outreach, normally I just want to say there's a lot of opportunity out there. And when we have new initiative and new idea, we can always pick new donor to support our organization. That's one angle. And another angle is about when we know a lot of surrounding environment about the landscapes of the issue that we are working on, in terms whether education, entrepreneurship, or you know housing or volunteer or you know poor poverty, we can always engage donor with the angle that we see how they are interested. I would like to raise an example. One of the program that we have, our entrepreneurship program, one donor will end this year, and now we're looking for another's. And so we reach out to these Korean organizations. And now they have agreed to support this program, but through this angle that I explained to them, they only work in like basic education, you know, not education about entrepreneurship. So I say, based on the experience, you know, a lot of Korean business are taken over by Chinese business, even the airport. That we know that the Koreans were supposed to do 10 years ago. Now it's done, but by Chinese. And I told him, hey, there's a lot of interest for Korean, and Korean used to be here. And this internship for small business is an opportunity that bring Korean business, because you know, SME culture, entrepreneurship culture in Korea is vibrant, dynamics. And they agree with that. So I said, you know, this is an opportunity for Korean community to build, to support this. And then you can start meeting the small business entrepreneur first before anybody else can reach to these people and build from the small. And a lot of business have the potential to become a $1 million business, you know. I would say from what my experience that I do with, whether we reach there or not, it doesn't matter, but there's potential. You know, somebody starting up, somebody start a, you know, a plow, cut, con tu tu hay cái lụa tơ rồi mẹ packaging á này, thấy chưa này? That's an app for tourist, a guide booking like pass app, you know. That's all we have with our entrepreneur, about 10 company right now. So I think that's what he buys, not the education, but how this education connects with the Korean business community that they want to come to Cambodia. And you know, Khoi Kha is big in Cambodia. They are here for business for long term. So when we have the overall like knowledge surrounding us, we can sell our projects based on something else. Like that's what I mean in terms of like how we create a product to sell to them. So right now I don't have a headache for this program anymore. We are negotiating about the cost of the program right now. Yeah, luckily I raised the example because they just confirmed yesterday. Thank you. I hope it helped with the answer. Thank you.
Who else has a question? I see a hand raised. Sosriak, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Bia.
And then Lita has her hand up also. So Sosriak, and then we'll follow with Lita's question.
Thank you. Thank you, Mongloid, for sharing. I have a question related to leadership and initiatives. I am not a manager yet, but I will use my experience as the Toastmaster club leader because I was the president. I initiated ideas and used the strategy of SMART goals, and we initiated a lot of ideas. And it was easy because I was the president, so I got the authority to say what we want to achieve. But in the organization, as you are a leader, sometimes you pitch your ideas and then you have to convince the people, for example, that your managers or your officers to agree with your ideas and make the decision as fast as possible, because sometimes the decision may be delayed or they may not agree with you for your initiatives. And sometimes when your initiatives are not valued many times, your mind would say, I don't want to raise idea anymore. So as a leader, what would be your suggestions or tips?
Thank you, Sotiria. Yes, I will try to answer quickly in terms of times. I would like to let everyone know that Sotiria was joining Pepe's about probably a few months or 6 months before me at Pepe's, and he's capable. I would say that I want Sotiria to follow his dream, and I think that he's whether he's at Pepe or leaving Pepe, that's not important. The key is that as a leader, do I empower Sotiria enough to pursue his own dream? Okay. And I believe that whatever decision that he moved to another organization, I hope that's on track for his dream, and I'm happy for that. In terms of communication or leadership, like initiative, so we have my two things is that, yeah, leaders can be easy, but sometimes you got to sell your idea as well. And sometimes it's about people, working environment. If you find that that is not really a water, that an organization is not a water or like a fertilizer that helps you grow as a tree, then probably that's not the right place for you, you know. And you got to keep changing, and things that you are Toastmaster club president, but how many years you're going to stay here? I'm going to finish my time right here and then move on. And, you know, so this is how you grow, you know, you move and you see bigger challenge that you like to move. And I've been with probably six organizations. My maximum is 4 years. I come to one. Now, as you probably some of us know, I'm leaving Pepe's at the end of the years, and I'm talking with other organizations for jobs that I like. I'm happy they call me, and probably we're gonna sign contract soon. But if I jump my step, go in that organization, I would think about next step, what I'm gonna do. Do they have the challenge after I'm there for 3 years and things like that? So then the daily problem does not distract you, does not annoy you, you know, like, hey, I have my goals here. I want to achieve this. If you don't like, it's okay. I think as long, but let me know as soon as possible so that I can come up with another idea. Don't think about it for too long. Okay. Like that, you know, you ask them. And if it's again and again, then you find other fertilized soil for yourself. Yes, thank you.
Oh, that's a very interesting conversation. Lita, what's on your mind?
Thank you, Bill, and thanks, Mogloj, for speaking. So my question is, how the O and D related to NGO? Something like you mentioned about the O and D. So I'm really curious to know what is the process of this bird would have the organization to initiate the new projects for our organization. And the second question, I also would like to have your advice, like initiate the projects for our organization is good, but sometimes the donor, they do want to see the people within the organization follow the vision and mission that we already created. Based on your experience, how can you face or how can you challenge or engage the donor to believe the same way as we do?
Thank you, Lita. Yes, good questions. It sounds like I failed my mission to explain about R&D, but I will take a quick clarification. Thank you for asking very honestly about this. I think that probably I went too fast, too quick. So R&D, in terms of organization today, I want to focus on the development of individual. When individual, especially the kind audience, interesting audience here, understand about that process, he or she will help the organization. And the organization that can foster, can empower the employees to think outside the box, to take risks, and to make mistakes. Encourage them to make mistakes, your organization will grow very fast, you know. You have to understand how big is a mistake, how small is a mistake, controllable, and things like that. You allow based on your, you know, that's called also delegation. Delegation is to allow people to make mistakes and take ownership, and that means empower them. And the more they make mistakes, and the more they learn, and the more you empower them, the more delegate you can and less work you need to do, you know, by yourself. So you have time to think about your vision, organization vision, about ideas, about big things. R&D is research and development. When individual do a lot of research, like I said, which we don't need to spend any money, and nonprofit, we don't have money on that. So depend on each staff to have the initiative and the passion for their work, you know. A staff who doesn't have a passion for their work cannot do research. They just come up, you know, like do as a worker, not idea workers, you know. We look for idea worker. So that's my answer. And the second is about vision and mission. Vision is very broad, mission is also broad. When we already have the vision, donor would like us to follow our vision. That's correct. Very good. And in terms of vision, we should not change our vision, okay? But we can always change, improve activities. One vision can have 100 activities. See? A car company doesn't sell a car, you know. Why let's say I like Toyota. Or you like BYD, you like Nissan, you like Ford, you know. That's the car, is the product, it's like a vision, but how to sell it, there are so many. And when we have, let's say Pepe, the vision is the future young people with the dream job, you know, employment and make their own decision for their job and things like that. But we can do 100 activities, you know, under that vision. You got that, Lita, in terms of vision and mission? Yeah. And the more, the shorter the vision, the more the donor like it, you know, and activity you can adjust it, move it from one step to another. And with the donor, as long as you can carry the same target indicators, you know, let's say this is the indicator, that it doesn't matter what activity you do, you know, you improve, you add more cost, or you cut the cost, or you move from one region to another, it's okay as long as the indicator are fit with their funding objective. Okay, thank you.
Well, it's very, very thoughtful. And I'm going to jump in here in a minute, but I see that Sokli from TDSO has her hand up, and I'd like to know what's on your mind. What do you think?
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mongloy, for sharing. You know, when you showed the topic to us about research and development, I was thinking about what I'm doing now. I thought it must be about doing research and then develop what you are doing. Like, so actually TDSO is planning to do the impact measurement of our program. So we've been training teachers, and now we want to see the impact on the students. So we are going to conduct a case study to see their language proficiency, their confidence, their English language at the beginning of the year, middle and end. So when you were talking about R&D, I was thinking about that, my impact measurement. But then when you talk about your experience, about initiatives, and then also it's about individual development.
It's both. It's both. But I want to be a little bit specific for this because I like individual to grow and talk in the individual level so that we understand, because we have our own personal experience. But at the same time, it also applicable or automatically when the staff grow individually, the organization grow. And like impact evaluation and things like that is the same. Why program people never become impact manager, impact evaluator right away? Sometimes we need consultant to do this and that. And if you want to be an impact evaluator, consultant or manager, you just continue to research and then move to another job probably, then you become an impact evaluator in the process. I mean, I don't mean you want to say that you want to become an impact evaluator, but like when an organization have that person who has that specific interest already, then the organization can send that somebody, that staff, to get, let's say, 1 week or 2 week training in Phnom Penh or maybe in Thailand, and then come back as a skill, you know, because you do a lot of research, you know a lot of this, and you have experience in program already, and then you become the product yourself. That's the R&D. Like R&D is to develop the product, and in terms of develop projects and develop like, let's say, develop proposal, that's a different things. You know, it's more like a technical work only. But like in terms of R&D is how an organization would come up with new ideas. And today I would just say that the best I can hope for, if any of us in the future, 3 years, in 3 years can come up with your own idea to inject into your program or activities, that's the result that I would say C Foundation was looking for, because that's what C Foundation pours a lot of money into this capacity development. And we need to be mindful internal capacity building, how we cannot just like, okay, this topic we haven't done yet, let's do it. But how to make somebody to become, you know, a real asset for the organizations, you know? And the real asset is that you go to the training, after that you research, take a couple of years, build yourself on that and find something new, add to the program. And like Nita asked a good question, after you do research, you see, oh, this program is not so impactful, and there's something more interesting to engage the participant, the beneficiary. So let tweak it, but keep the same indicators so that the donor doesn't worry about it. Thank you.
Could you share with us just a few activities that PEPPI have done within the organization to promote the R&D?
Oh, I think that the R&D at PEPPI I wouldn't say that it doesn't help before, but most likely more with I'm pushing when I'm coming in. Right now, we have two type of training that we are developing. One is to have the staff, junior staff or general staff to become manager. So each year there are about 3 to 5 trainings, you know. And another training is for manager to become the ED to replace me, you know. So there are some training like that at Pepe's, you know, we try to replace people, and it's a strategic plan. As an organization, it's about staff mobility. Staff mobility, it means we move staff from lower level to a higher level, higher positions. And at the same time, move the staff from inside Pepe and grow and work outside of Pepe. From $500 a month to $800, $1,000 a month in another organization. And I think that we didn't do that with Soteria, but I talked to Soteria. I see his potential. I see his leadership skill. And somehow, you know, I think probably he moved through his dream and whatever. Like, I hope his salary improved from Pepe as well. And yeah, we have that example. And that's and O&D that I experienced a lot is through myself, because I work with private companies, Procter & Gamble, you know, Pantene, Sabu Pong Time, and I studied law. I work with international organization. I work with social enterprise. I do my own business. So I have so many things, and it doesn't mean that I'm successful, you know. Being an executive director in with a local organization, for me, actually, for my ambition, is actually a failure. I failed in Phnom Penh. That's why I come to live in Siem Reap. And somehow I got to keep working, because my business at home is not really spouse, wife and husband cannot do business together at home, so I need to come and work outdoor, you know, away from home. But yeah, for me it's a failure, you know. And but the experience, I wouldn't change for anything else. I moved to different organization. I experience, I learn a lot, and I just want to share this experience, have the opportunity to share this experience with young people. And I know a lot of us here, actually, I'm the eldest, the oldest here. I think that's why I like to share. And in terms of, I think that if you use this, probably you can tweak this approach, but you'll grow a lot when you have the passion, you know. And where do I learn that nowadays? I learned it from TikTok. I learned it from, you know, YouTube, whatever interest. I go in, and there's, let's say, Excel interests me. So I go on TikTok. There's a lot of tricks on Excel, you know. If you're in finance, how to become great, or even, let's say like this, young people like Soteria, you can use Excel trick to flirt a girl, you know, simply like that, you know. It's, this is how you use the information, the tool that we have. And one more thing, some of us struggle with English. I think that most staff in local organizations struggle with English. Try to use the Google translation tool or AI translation tool, you know. Don't put a language as our barriers, okay? Try, and then you'll overcome that. Yes.
Luch, this is fast.
Sorry, I speak too fast.
You're doing just fine, and I'm admiring your ability to express some fairly complex ideas in a language that is not your mother tongue. So that's not so easy either. But I want to interject for a moment and make sure that I'm understanding what you're saying. Because when you were talking about R&D and in a nonprofit organization, my initial reaction was, this will be interesting. I'm not quite sure where this is going to go. And I like where it's been. I like the topic. And it What I'm hearing is that R&D is not an organizational responsibility. You're starting with the individual and saying the individual, the person in the organization, needs to be curious, and they should do some research, and they'll develop themselves, and that they should be looking into something they have passion for, something that they care about, something they want to get better at, whether it's their job function or not, and that in the process of several people in an organization doing that, you are getting capacity building then for the organization. The organization gets stronger, and then more ideas will surface. And those ideas, what do we do with the ideas? We can evaluate those ideas based upon our mission. What do we do, for whom, to what end? And if we're clear on what we do as an organization, we'll find out how those ideas fit, and that the whole organization then gets better from a research and development process that's focused on the individual. And that will help the organization get better. It will help the individuals grow within the organization. And in some cases, they will grow out of the organization and have better career opportunities someplace else. Am I getting your message?
Yes, Bill, you're right on this individual level in individual development, but an organization that grow is about individual staff. You know, the individual staff grow, organizational grow. So I prefer the angle is don't put the burden on the organization to have an R&D, because organization nonprofit doesn't have that kind of budget, because we are not selling product, we are looking for funding from donor. But the better idea you have, the more funding you can receive, and the organization will grow with you. You know, the organization only grow in size but not intelligent if they don't have people. R&D is about intelligence, in about smart, intelligent staff. An organization that grow with funding, you know, somehow accidentally or opportunity or luckily, but with the staff that doesn't have the intelligence to implement the size of the budget, then the organization, you can see some organization, some business fail already, you know, when they cannot catch up. You know, it's not a very competitive environment, but I would say that if you want to double your salary, young like Lita or Vibol, Udom, or I don't know, Sotirak, you know, who at Teatrodom, if you want to double your salary in 5 years or 7 years, that's where you gotta go everywhere. You do a lot of things, and people know you, and then you don't need to apply for a job again. You work there, people notice you, they keep ED like a funder, they keep an eye on you all the time. For me, I keep an eye on people that I meet, you know, as an ED, you know, like, oh, this person I met there, probably good to replace somebody here, or if I knew I have a new organization. And salary go with this knowledge and experience that you are working. And so it's all together, Bill, like individuals and organization grow together, and it doesn't need to the organization to really like say, okay, I allocate 5% of donor money for research and development. No.
No.
Saudi Asia Foundation is already do a lot of that. The key is how to make that to be very, very impactful individually for yourself, and it will automatically benefit the organization. And sometimes you grow beyond the organization does not grow with you, still stuck in the past, then you move on to let's say you work in local organization. Do you want to work with a regional organization that let's say 50% more of your salary? And do you want to grow into international organizations that double your salaries? So that's how it is. And that's, I experienced myself a lot as well.
Now, this is all tying together now in my mind. And I'll just reflect for a moment on that when Sopal and I did our recent workshop on fueling your NGO, and we were talking about the three pillars of sustainability. We need financial sustainability, we need leadership sustainability, and we need talented staff sustainability. And you're really speaking to that third pillar and say, it's a responsibility of leadership to attract and retain the right kind of people. It's also the individual's responsibility to be curious, to do research, to build their own knowledge, and to build their own capabilities. And that'll open up their opportunities within the organization. The organization gets stronger, and their career growth, either in the organization or moving away from
outside,
gets stronger. So I'm seeing how your advice, your conversation about R&D here really is adding an interesting facet to that third leg of sustainability, which is staff development, that enriches my thinking, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. So I used to tell my boss, hey, I'm working a lot, sometimes day and night, you know, like, but I'm not working for these organizations. I'm working for myself because I want to see myself grow, but it's a byproduct, you know. Yes, raise salary for me. Yeah? If you don't raise, I go somewhere else. But I do days and nights because I want to experience and learn. And yeah, you can say like you all you support organization, but if you don't develop yourself, it doesn't work. When the work is under you, then you don't grow anymore. Find the work that above you, you know, and then you grow fast. And the solution is beyond the internet, the best solution, you know. Like I come to present today, like it's a bit surprised. You cannot find it this level. I'm just trying to find solution for and how to understand this kind of how to make an organization grow and can have new activity. It's not about like staying in the office and look at the number and all the boring stuff every day. It's about expanding your universe of curiosity beyond the office. And we have the internet, we have community here that we meet, you know, that we can share and direct workshop. We have fun, a lot of snack, you know, and sometime lunch, you know. These are the all and the pool for our CRC network, I would say. Thank you.
So you're telling us that it isn't just the leader's responsibility to have ideas about what the organization should do. It's everybody's responsibility and opportunity to come up with high quality ideas. And that comes through building their own information, doing more research, getting better at what they're curious about, what they're passionate about.
Yeah, I would say that it's not the responsibility, but you should keep curious if you want to get a lot of salary and move to a bigger organization that have more money to pay you. Because when you start an organization, start with an organization that probably you're still young. But let's say 10 years from now, if you don't grow yourself, you stick there. You just go by the ladder, you know. Organization have salaries, you know, ladder scale for you to grow like 5% a year, 5% a year. It takes so long to get a lot of salary to have a nice like whatever like like future you want, you know, your dream. But if you are doing so good at the organization, people notice you, they kind of buy you like a footballer. Go to another place and then they double your salary, you know.
Yeah, those are all.
I raise one example. Whenever at Pantene shampoo, my colleague work there, but she's responsible for mealy orange juice, mealy juice that you see in supermarket. And there, this Nivea manager, they see mealy was doing good. In the they just see the, you know, the aisle in a stack no supermarket. Yes, they see the aisle, the product move well, the arrangement is good, always in discipline and very good. She was like $600 a month then. Then Nivea took her. They doubled the salary. And later on, like I met her like 2012, 2014. I was looking for an ED to replace me at a short enterprise there because I want to move to Siem Reap. She said no. She got $2,000 plus a year and her bonus sometimes $20,000 a year. Every bonus, she can buy a new car with a DKSH, yeah, Nivea product, you know. It's powerful how our knowledge and experience and our product, you know, when you do the work, people notice you. When you meet people, you shake their hand, you speak your first couple sentence, people notice your quality. When you appreciate them, they know you appreciate your appreciation, what level is your knowledge of appreciation. It's simple like that as human. And donor, ED, director with different organization, different level, they have all the dogs experience 10, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. They shake your hand. They know what level you are, you know. So you sell yourself every day, every interaction, and the more knowledge, the more initiative, the more experience you have, they know, you know. You don't need to open like whatever write for them in your like CV. Your CV, you cannot write like meeting a person and show them a CV, you know, meeting for 5 minutes, they know your quality more than your CV. You can ask Bill.
That's true. Lita's got her hand up again. Let's jump into this conversation.
Yes, thank you, Bill. I just want to share to Wallet. Thanks for your ideas. I just want to appreciate all your sharing. Anyway, I only want to tell all my team here because they are also here, and I just want to say that you will double increase the salary as well if Kamu project grow. So you don't need to think to like other organizations. Just try to make Kamu projects grow, and then you will grow. Like we grow together. I just want to share my idea. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Good. You know. We as a leader, we don't limit the growth. We don't limit the opportunity, but as we are all together, we should try to be productive together and reap the benefit together fairly, you know, based on our contribution. But we also have to be professional. If we know that probably I'm not contributing much anymore, probably I should look for new opportunity. But I need capacity building. I need support from the organization. Just be open. Then, you know, I have experienced some staff who used to be like, he start where, as you know, let's say as a technical technician, and then he grow to be program and then become, you know, somebody else, you know, just to keep him there. When he grow old, then he cannot go anywhere else. And I have experience with the organization that at 45 years old, he cried and doesn't accept the termination letter from the organizations. And he, because he stuck there, he feel like this is the home, this is where, but you know, organization, company close all the time. You just don't know where. And when you grow even older, like me, I'm very old right now in terms of employment. I cannot really move around, you know, looking for like manager job, like $500 or under 1,000, nobody pay for me. Want me, you know, there are young people who can drink all night and still come back to work in the morning fresh, you know. Me, I cannot do that, I'm too old. So I like when we grow old, if you don't have a particular expertise that you can sell outside your organization, you have a lot of risk falling with the organization. And when you are 45 years old, 50 years old, if you stay in that organization and you are only like one expertise with that organization, if that close, you're gone. You go back to your home, I don't know, start a grocery store, things like that, you know, or sell some land to make a living. I don't know, but like we need to be careful, you know. Yeah.
So you're essentially, what I'm hearing from you is it's really, really important to invest in yourself, to grow, do the research, do the development for yourself, grow your knowledge, grow your skills, increase your value to your organization. You'll advance in your organization or you'll advance someplace else. But it all begins by investing in yourself.
Yes. And the organization that develop the staff well, the staff will come back to you, to your organization. I have a lot of friends who I like, people I work with now, they are head of like wing bank, HO and things like that. I can just reach out to wing bank or for any organization for some activity private. They still like, oh, you call, okay, I appreciate your support to me, you know, and I grown this far, you know, because like one conversation that we have on that day, you know, or like because we are 1 year together, you know, things like that. It's very like I think as leader here, we are all leader, we have this experience, all of us, small or big, you know. And you know, like Udom, I would specifically raise Udom as an example. I would say he's gonna become the head of the organization. But then you want to develop new leader. And at your age, you know, in the next 10 years, you can jump into regional, international organizations, you know, and probably also freelance consultant, you know, separately, you know, or you can work at UN office, you know, or World Vision's regional office. You have a lot of opportunity. So broaden your perspective, look for bigger contribution, and then you achieve that, and your organization with new leader, with, you know, ongoing development and change and improved leadership, that's the sustainability of the nonprofit in the long term. Is here.
Invest in yourself. What a great message. So Paul, you've been real quiet through this presentation, but you're also an experienced educator and someone who's invested an awful lot in yourself. And I've watched the growth over the 10 years that we've been together, working together. What would you add to this conversation?
Well, thank you so much, Lutz, actually, for this discussion. I mean, it's kind of like a last minute when we can get this wonderful speaker for today. Very grateful that everyone enjoyed their topic, and thanks Bill for pointing out to me for this. I mean, I've been working in a leadership position for many years. It's very good that we know who we are and what else we want to improve. As a leader, we have to think in a two-way perspective. One is for ourselves to continue to grow. I actually I remember this quote from my history teacher back in like 90s or something, when he say, we are not standing in the same point if we are not improving ourselves. We actually walk backward because the knowledge and skills actually arose
being forgotten. So if we don't continue improving or polishing, we are not standing at the same point. We are actually going backward. We're losing our quality. So that's why it's important for us to continue growing in whatever aspect. You know, if you enjoy language, if you enjoy, I don't know, like office skills or whatever, just keep improving. But as a leader, we also need to give this opportunity to our subordinate as well to continue improving, or room for them to grow. And other thing is, as an employer aspect, sometimes skill is not something we're looking for. We're looking for character. So if the person actually sincere with the institution, this person had commitment to grow, I mean, that's what employer looking for. It's obviously, this already looks, has already mentioned, if you have that character, employers everywhere would actually search for you. You don't have to submit your CV. It's all about how could we work together with other group members. It's not how much experience you have. It doesn't matter how much skill you have, but if you can't work with other people, your skills and experience is useless. And then not any employer want to employ us. So it doesn't matter where we are. We're in the same institution or we're leaving the institution. It's all about how can we work together. It's the same like what Bill and I mean all the team in Southeast Asia Foundation has been providing in the training. We are not trying to be the spotlight of the activities or anything. We need to be as part of the hub. We also learned from Gen Y Skillens about this as well. What actually our mission? Are we trying to be the spotlight, being as the stars of these activities or organization, or actually we work together with other to actually tackle some issues like most of us are doing now, education, tackle the poverty in community, working on a sanitation, for example, and these other things. So is it all about Pepe? Is it all about Kambu? Or is it all about, you know, like BFT? Well, what actually really our mission that working together? So it's the same in a personal life. If you already just only want to get rich, only want to get money, sometimes, you know, you only go alone. You can't walk fast.
Yep.
That would be my message and summarize what I learned from Luch. And thanks so much for putting ideas together and keep us motivated, because I mean, without this discussion, we kind of like forgot how to take care of ourselves. Sometimes taking care of ourselves, it could be a reward of giving us extra knowledge, or you know, being talking to other people to learn about other projects, to be inspired. So yeah, that would be my message. Thank you.
Actually, that's an interesting point that you just made. Some of the organizations that were my clients that I worked with here in America used training opportunities as a reward, that the training went to their best people. And so you earned growth. You earned training opportunities. Training was not to fix problems or to fix stupid people. Training was to develop already smart people, curious people, hardworking people, and helping people get better. So investing in yourself. My goodness, look at the time. It's already 11:20. We let this conversation go a fair bit longer than we typically do because it's a good conversation. And Luch, I'm grateful. I've picked up some ideas that when Paul and I talk about the three legs of sustainability, and when we're talking about the staff, talented staff leg of sustainability, engaged talented staff, I want to augment that and emphasize the importance of the individual to develop themselves as part of that whole activity on that sustainability leg. I'll give it one last chance for somebody who has something that really needs to be said at this point. I'm looking for hands up. Well, let's all put our hands together and say thank you to Luch. Thank you for the
thank
time
you.
And
thank
thought.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And yeah, we meet at another events workshop with our team, our network. Then I can always share some show again, more over there. Yes,
we're always looking forward to that. And I'm going to be there within a month or so. And I'm looking forward. You and I need to have a dinner. So as we've done in the past.
Thank you.
So we'll catch up over a dinner. Well, this is the part of the meeting that we typically turn to celebrations. And my goodness, it's just having Luke talk to us is something to celebrate. And I'm going to stop the recording at this part.